All right. I just want to share, before we go on, I want to share a little story of what happened, because then I met with the students in Athens and in Rome. And then we went visiting the different things, different sites. We went to Mars Hill that was infested with thieves. It was just such a crazy thing, you know. And then we left Athens, and a day later there was a bomb in Athens. So I kind of thought, man, I thought I was in danger in Pakistan. Athens is pretty dangerous too. But then we went to Rome, we went to the Colosseum, we went to Paul's prison, and it was great. And I always like going to the holy steps, because that is where Martin Luther was going up on his knees, seeking an indulgence, seeking to buy forgiveness of sins from the church. And it was there that the verse, "The just shall live by faith," warmed his heart, and he realized, what in the world am I doing? You cannot buy the forgiveness of sins. Now, incidentally, when we were in Pakistan, a lot of people came to us for prayer, because prayer costs there. If you go to a certain mullahs or things, you have to have a little bit of money and give it to them for prayer, or to bless the water and things like that. So they were coming, and that's why so many people were coming for prayer, because it was free. It was great. But we liked going, and it was amazing, because everyone that went to the holy steps was completely shocked at what they saw. Because you think of Martin Luther's time, indulgences being given and being earned. But you know what? Indulgences are being given and done today. And there was, when they saw the people going upon their knees, I think it sent shockwaves through everybody that was with us. To the end that they came out, and all they could do was sit on some steps. And at one point, one guy said, "Should we take communion?" Another guy is like, "Should we sing a song?" And we found ourselves singing, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe." And Trevor, there was a old lady asking for money. He went to talk to her, and one of the students, I guess, began to cry because she was just very moved. But the people in the... another lady came from the line or somewhere there, and she says, "I have never seen a person talk to this woman, and she's been here for a long time." And then from the line, people came and began to give her a bit of food here and there. And then, all of a sudden, the Roman Catholic TV channel came. They had been interviewing people in the line, and they asked if they could film us singing. So they filmed us singing, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe." And then they asked if they could interview somebody, so they interviewed Trevor, and Trevor just shared the gospel, man. He just said, "You know what, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone, you know. And we're so grateful for everything that Jesus has done for us." And he told them, "We're evangelicals here." And they asked him, "How does it feel to be in Rome?" And he's just like, "Oh, you know what? It feels amazing to be in Rome and to be here where it all happened. And to be in Paul's prison where he penned 2 Timothy. And it was just amazing to be here." It was just incredible. So it was just great open doors. You know what? It's amazing when we just get out there what the Lord will do. You know? Just when we get out there what the Lord will do. So, today's Easter. I told you about Pakistan. I told you about Rome. Jesus just working in wonderful ways. And the reason is because Jesus is alive. This hope that God has given us is under attack in every way, shape, or form. The devil is on a mission to strip us from the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Hope is one of the biggest gifts that you can possibly have on the earth. It is a gift of God. You know, some of you guys that have been here on holiday, you hope that it will not rain while you're here, that the sun will shine the whole time. When you get on a plane like me, you hope that that plane will take off and land safely. But hope is a massive gift of God And there's nothing sadder in the world to me than when we are encountered with people without hope. I remember coming on the island and seeing my grandmother sick, and all hope had left her. And it was so difficult to encourage her. You could say whatever you wanted, but it just would not go beyond that wall of lost hope. Hope is a gift of God. But it's interesting that the Bible speaks like this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter says that we have been raised through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to a living hope that does not pass away. Hope is already very important. But what is the difference between a hope and a living hope? A living hope is a hope that does not die with death. When Jesus said to the disciples, "Follow me," they followed hoping something. They followed thinking that the kingdom would be restored, that Rome would be removed, and that Israel would be a strong power again. And yet, they didn't see that happen. As a matter of fact, they followed Jesus with all the hope in the world that he was going to restore a kingdom upon the earth. And then they watched Jesus die upon a cross. And I'll tell you what, that hope that Jesus put in them, it was like a little match. And it was like someone took a bucket of cold water and just dumped it over it when they saw Jesus die upon the cross. The hope in their hearts was completely dead. The questions were, what in the world has happened? All this work for these 3 years, all this following of Jesus, for what? For what? It's over. And then, before sunrise, the women went over to the tomb. And there they found that the stone had been rolled away. And they heard a voice saying, "Why do you seek for the living among the dead?" Peter, when he heard that, he ran to the tomb. Thomas didn't believe it. He's like, "Unless I can put my hands in his side, I'm not going to believe." The hope was dead. Hope is so important. They did an experiment with rats. I know I've said this many times before, but it, to me, is the best illustration. They did an experiment with rats. They took 10 rats, or 5 rats, whatever it was, and they put them underwater, and after 4 minutes, they were dead. They timed it, the point of their death. Then they took 10 rats, and right at the point of that they were about to die, they were rescued out of the water. Right at the verge. And then they let them rest, and they took 10 rats who had been rescued and 10 rats that had never been rescued, and they put them underneath the water. After 4.5 minutes, the 10 rats that had never been rescued died. The rats that had been rescued, they lasted 48 hours. underneath the water. And you kind of want, I know the experiment is not pleasant, but what it teaches is incredible if you think about it. They had a whole, I didn't do it, huh, the experiment. I don't want to. But listen, guys, why in the world did those rats last 48 hours underneath that water? Can you attribute it to anything else but that they had a hope that they would be rescued? And we live in a world that is constantly trying to erode the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and the fact that Jesus offers that resurrection from the dead to all. All will rise. Not just believers and unbelievers. All will rise. Some to eternal judgment, some to eternal life. And I want to say this today. The resurrection from the dead is not what the disciples, the apostles, believed. They didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They saw it. They don't say, oh yeah, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. No, they saw it. They ate with them. They drank with them. They talked with them. They ate breakfast with them. And the resurrection from the dead was at the core of their faith. Because they saw it. They saw him. The resurrection from the dead became the apostles' hope at all times. A hope that death could not kill. That's why it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. A hope that death cannot kill. The resurrection from the dead is the apostles' hope. The resurrection from the dead was the apostles' message. That is what they communicated wherever they went. You look at what the apostle Paul taught, what Peter taught, what Stephen taught. Every single one of them taught Jesus rose from the dead. And the resurrection from the dead was their hope, their message. And the resurrection from the dead is what the church believes, hopes, and teach. That should be the definition of your Christian life. There should be a hope in our lives. It should be what we communicate, and it should be what we believe. And you kind of say, what? I do believe that. I that's where I'm at. I mean, I do believe that. And other of you guys might be saying, man, it's so hard for me to believe. And it is amazing that in this world, the big attack upon the world is that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. 1/3 of the clergy in the United Kingdom no longer believe in the resurrection from the dead. 1/3 of the clergy. And even a secular newspaper said years ago, we have come to the place where the unfaithful are ruling over the faithful. And we should make it the aim of our hearts that we unashamedly believe in the resurrection of Jesus, hope in the resurrection of Jesus, and teach the resurrection of Jesus. Because that is the only hope for this dying world. Christianity is not another religion. Christianity is an encounter with the risen Jesus. And that encounter changes everything. I know what it is to serve a dead religion. Born and raised in a religious environment, at 19 became a Mormon, right into another religious thing, and at 25, Jesus met me and changed my heart. The risen Jesus, the risen Savior. No one else had the power. And it is astonishing to me how many people worship Muhammad, who died, worship Buddha, who died, Chavez, who just died in Venezuela. They're gonna, what is it called? Mummify him or whatever it is, so they can look at him like Lenin. You know, so people can go to him. The whole Egyptian thing was about preserving people into eternal life. Only one has risen from the dead. Only one has ever said, "Behold, I was dead and I live." Only Jesus is worthy of our faith. They asked Billy Graham in Cologne, the Chancellor of Cologne asked them, looking at the destroyed city of Cologne, "Do you really believe in the resurrection of the dead?" And young Billy Graham said, "If I didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead, I would not be preaching it." And the Chancellor said, "Apart from the resurrection of the dead, I know of no other hope for this world, apart from the resurrection of Jesus, and therefore the resurrection of the dead." We were just in the catacombs where they buried the Christians. And I love, the symbols are great. There's the symbol of a man with a lamb over his shoulders. It's the good shepherd. There's a lamb. There's one of the fish that we're all familiar with the attributes of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, you know, the Christ. I love that one too. But I must say, there's one that's my favorite. And they would put it on the tombs of the Christians, and it would be an anchor. And the anchor symbolized the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm troubled. Because we send our kids to school, and they go to school, and in an English class, they tell them there's no God. I'm troubled because even in homes, fathers tell their kids that there is no God. I'm troubled because you go to a mosque in Jerusalem and it says, "God has no son." And whoever believes that, he is foolish. And I'm troubled because that should be the anchor of the Christian church. And it is astonishing to me that people we walk around, not necessarily you guys, but whoever, walk around saying they are Christians when they completely contradict the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And guys, I hope there's nobody here today that's just merely celebrating Easter. I hope that you're here today in fellowship with the risen Savior, with a life transformed. If you're not, that you would not leave here without a meeting and an encounter with the risen Savior, knowing that He's got the water for your soul, knowing that He has the authority to forgive your sins, and knowing that it is He who rose from the dead who one day... You guys know the story of Lazarus? Where he died, and after the fourth day, they said, "He stinks. Don't open the tomb. It's going to smell." And he said, "Lazarus, arise." And Spurgeon says that Jesus had to say Lazarus, because if he would have said arise, every dead person would have arisen. And you know what? Guys, here's my personal testimony. I have given my life to Jesus Christ because he is the one that came from heaven. So therefore, he's got the authority to tell me what was, what is, and what will be. He rose from the dead. Nobody else did. So I have given my hope completely to him because death couldn't hold him. And he's promised me that whoever believes in him, he shall raise them up on the last day. And in the catacombs, they would clothe them. They would wash the bodies and they would just put them away. Why? Because they wanted to be ready for Jesus to come back just to say, come on, my beloved, come. And when we celebrate Jesus and the resurrection, that is our hope. That is our message. That is our faith. So simple. And that's what's going to make a difference in the world. Man, I've walked with the Lord for 15, 16 years now. And that anchor just gets more rooted as the years go by. I mean, I used to be scared to go to cemeteries. I didn't like being with dead people, much less, I didn't like hanging out there. I just thought it was so depressing. Jesus removed all that. He's put a hope in my heart that although it is scary, don't get me wrong, it is scary. I'm scared in some ways to meet Jesus. Because Daniel fell down as dead. John fell down as dead. And I'm petrified in some ways. Although he loves me so much and I know, I think it will be like going to the sun. You know, he will be more majestic than the sun. And it'll be like, ah! And then he'll say, hey, don't be afraid, for you're greatly beloved. But as much as I'm afraid, I also have that hope that I shall live forever. Not because of anything that I am or anything that I've done, but because Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. What a great privilege. Don't let the devil in your mind rob you of this hope. Don't let the clever people or spiritual people rob you of this hope. If you give up this hope, you will have no hope to hold on to. And I want to close with this. And then we're going to dedicate a little girl. Isabella is going to come in a minute. But Nero... How many of you guys heard of the Emperor Nero? You know, they say he started as a really good guy. A really, really good guy. And the angel said to Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. And we know that if the angel says that, Paul stood before Caesar. And I am sure that Paul shared the gospel with Nero. And Nero set Paul free. Nobody else could have, because then Paul went and did other missionary journeys, and he had a second imprisonment later on. And it was Nero later on that beheaded him. But some people believe that after he rejected Jesus Christ, the guy went bananas. Some people attribute that craziness in his heart and in his mind to him rejecting Jesus Christ. And it's like Pastor Chuck says, when we reject Jesus Christ, we don't cease in believing anything. We begin to believe in everything. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, notice, please note that he loves you. And he wants to bless you. And he wants you to open his heart and allow him to dwell in you. He's at the door saying, if you will let me into your life, if you will just let me in once and for all, we will eat together. We will have fellowship together. He loves you and wants to fill your heart with hope. But man, if you close your heart, after that, there's nothing left. Nothing worthwhile. And I would like to encourage any of you here today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, to make a step. I mean, these Pakistanis, the moment they say they're Christians, they can lose their lives. I mean, no one's asking you to do something so radical as that. Just simply go to somebody and say, look, I'm not a Christian. Let's pray together. I want Jesus to live in me. I want Him to fill me with this hope. And don't spend the rest of your life walking around like a beggar when you can be a king's child, full of hope and grace and love. So I'm going to ask you to pray together. Let's pray. Father,